Coming up next on The Voice of Alabama Politics, a brawl in Montgomery. Also, Algop thrives under wall. And the Alabama Republican Party is hoping to overturn the Voting Rights Act. A scheme only rats could love. All this and much, much more coming up next on The V. Welcome to The Voice of Alabama Politics, where we tackle the tough issues so you have the hard facts. I'm your host, Bill Britt, and as always, I'm joined by Susan Britt, research guru extraordinaire, and Josh Moon, columnist and investigative reporter with APR. Welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Josh, you wrote about the brawl that erupted on the riverfront in Montgomery. And I'm telling you, as of Thursday, it had reached about 600,000 people, your story on that. And last night we were looking at Charlie Walker showed us memes on TikTok that there were just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of memes about how ridiculous that entire situation was. And the white chair.
Yeah.
Has now become an icon of the January 6th black whatever, being beaten up again. A lot of the black cops been beaten up. Now we got another insurrection in Montgomery.
Yeah, right. It's listen, I've got some nice folding chair earrings to sell if anybody would like some. It took on a life of its own. And, honestly, I think the reason why it, I don't want to say appealed, but why it struck such a nerve with people is because very rarely in such videos do you see the kind of immediate retribution for the bad actors that you saw in that. And, with the pontoon boaters who would not move out of the way for the Harriet II riverboat to park. And I'm assuming at this point that if you're listening to us talk about this this story, you have seen it in some way, shape, or form, especially around Montgomery. The pontoon boaters who attacked the co-captain of the Harriet II, who was down trying to move and clear space so the boat could dock after the pontoon boaters had been flipping them off and telling them they weren't going to move. And, so they attacked this poor guy. And then, he throws the bat signal up with his hat in the air, and his coworkers come to his aid or come to his defense, I guess, in some way, shape, or form. Although I think he had pretty much gotten them off of him by that point. But there was retribution that was handed out on the dock, and I think that appealed to a lot of people to see, I guess the underdogs kind of take it to the guys that were the bad actors. And it just has captured really, I mean, it's everywhere. It's not just TikTok. Yeah. It's Twitter, no. Facebook, Instagram, all over the place. There are just these crazy memes.
It was on.
It's gone national.
And
for all the wrong reasons, once again, Alabama is in national news. But Susan, this was a clear-cut case in my mind of white people who were probably pretty drunk, having a situation where the black co-captain of the boat asked them politely many times to move, and they wouldn't do it. They got belligerent and eventually went, "Hold my beer." And that's what came next.
Well, and tell you, these people were from Selma. They weren't from Montgomery. They were from Selma. And according to the dock captain there, they've had problems with them before. And they were telling them, "Oh, we don't have the keys. We can't move it." They were trying to just be smarties. And so you don't have to have the keys to move a boat in the river. You can take a little rope that's tied onto the dock and move the boat. which is what the co-captain did. And then they accused him of scarring their boat by hitting another one, which he didn't do. But nevertheless, that's where it started.
But Josh, this is, you know, I mean, this is just one of those things. And I know Mayor Reed has handled this very well. Mm-hmm. But he did say that he didn't think it was racist. And I have to disagree with the good mayor on that. This to me, appeared that I doubt they would have cursed at a big white guy like that. I've seen this too much in my life to believe that there's not some element of racism in there.
Yeah, I definitely think that there was an element of race. I also think that there was an element of alcohol, and just ego and overall, you know, being kind of an ass. And you know, I think that's part of what I think race was a portion of it, but I understand what Mayor Reed was saying, that, these guys were there, they'd been drinking probably most of the day, and that guy went down and asked them to move the boat and things kind of deteriorated from there. And then you saw, you know, that image of these four or five, you know, white people, punching and kicking this black man on the ground, and that obviously did not sit very well with his black coworkers. And so I think that element of race was there as well, and that was one of the reasons that sparked such a reaction in those guys, is that they wanted to defend this, you know, their fellow black man that was out just doing his job, and against these guys.
I think this goes to what that country music singer has sung about and gotten so much praise about. Tried this in a small town. We'll try this in Montgomery and see how it worked out. It didn't work out well for him, all right?
And the city of Montgomery reacted appropriately by issuing warrants for those who were involved.
Mm-hmm. Josh, we last Sunday, not the last Saturday, not this past Saturday, but the Saturday before that, celebrated 58 years of Lyndon Baines Johnson signing the Voting Rights Act. Mm-hmm. And yet it is under threat today, more than it was in many ways 58 years ago. And Alabama has been the heart and soul of attacking the Voting Rights Act from the very beginning.
No, it's not a surprise. I mean, Alabama was the cause of the Voting Rights Act to start with. So, I mean, you know, it's not really a surprise that they're still attacking it after 60 years or almost 60 years. I mean, it is. It's deplorable, the killing off of certain sections of the Voting Rights Act, as we did in Shelby versus Holder a few years ago. I mean, it was just such an absolutely made up Supreme Court decision by John Roberts. The fact that they didn't take that next step and kill Section 2 here just a couple of months ago was really a surprise to everybody, because they had done such a fantastic job of killing off the other ones for without a shred of reason or legal argument whatsoever. I mean, people forget that argument in there was that essentially that killed off these other sections was essentially that we no longer really have the same racist problems that we did when the Voting Rights Act came about. The problem with that was the group that was arguing, the city that was arguing, was under those requirements of the Voting Rights Act simply because they couldn't manage to not be racist for a period of longer than 5 years.
Yeah, well, and that was the point I wanted you to make, is that they claimed that it wasn't as racist as it used to be, but in the next segment, we're gonna go back and show you how ALGOP members admitted at their recent meeting that they planned all along to try to overturn the Voting Rights Act. We'll be right back. You're watching The View.
As a paramedic, you wouldn't believe the things that we've seen.
I've seen all types of horrible things.
I mean, we're there basically picking up the pieces from your worst day.
Everyone is just driving and not paying attention.
We all have the same goal. All of us want to go home alive and safe and harm nobody else in the process.
Slow down, be careful, care about the other people on the road. Don't be the reason that someone else doesn't go home tonight.
Today, Montgomery is a safer city. It's time to shift the narrative and take control of our future. We're reopening community centers, remediating blight, and revitalizing neighborhoods across the city. And we're unleashing new opportunities. Over the past year, companies have invested a record-setting $2 billion in Montgomery and created 2,000 jobs. This is a new Montgomery. And together, We're reimagining the possibilities.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, as we were talking, the Voting Rights Act has been under threat pretty much since its inception. Recently, a three-judge panel ruled that Alabama had violated Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. We know this. This coming week, those three judges will meet again to evaluate, did Alabama draw two majority-minority districts or something close to it? We know from looking at the maps and listening to experts, they did not draw two minority districts or anything close to it. Mm-hmm. Over at APR, we have reported that the reason they did that is because they wanted this three-judge panel to strike down their maps, at which time they would go to the Supreme Court again and try to get a hearing, and they hope that Associate Justice Kavanaugh would reverse himself and rule in their favor. Now, we reported that based on our sources, mm-hmm. but at the recent meeting of the Alabama Republican Party, Josh, they said the quiet parts out loud.
Yes. Yes, they did. They basically said this is what we want to do because we're afraid if we actually draw these maps fairly that we'll never win another race in some of these places. If we're actually forced to do this, and they talked about Louisiana and Texas and the other states and said it. We're going to be in trouble. I mean, you know, most parties, you know, in a representative government, you know, you would think that the reaction to, say, 35% to 45% of your constituency saying, hey, I don't like this. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like these policies. And a true representative government, the representatives of those people would change their policies to appeal to those voters. Instead, apparently what we're going to try to do instead is squash the voters into one or two little groups over here so we don't have to listen to what their wants and needs are and what they want out of their representative government.
I mean, Attorney General Steve Marshall at the Republican get-together said that he was going to stop these minority-majority districts at all costs. Susan.
He also said it doesn't have to do with black and white matter. It's a blue and red matter, because we're very conservative here in Alabama. Uh-huh. That is exactly what it's about, Steve Marshall.
The Supreme Court said, Steve, it's about race. It's a black and white matter, not a blue and red matter. But he and Tommy Tuberville are the epitome of the Dunning-Kruger effect. And if you don't know what that is, look it up. It's fascinating. But those two guys embody that whole Dunning-Kruger effect. Mm-hmm. But they said, Paul Reynolds, the National Committee person with Al Gop, said, look, we've got to get the Supreme Court to overturn Section 2 or we will never control the House of Representatives again. That means that you don't have policies that people want.
Yes. Yes.
That means
we're talking about people.
Nobody wants your policies.
They say this like it's, you know, they don't have any.
Yeah, they say this is like it's not what it is. It's a representative government. You're representing people, and if they're not voting for you, it's because you're not representing them the way they want to be represented.
That's what I mean. If you can't win elections without gerrymandering, it's because you aren't doing something else right.
Yes, it's called stacking the deck is what it's called.
Yeah.
They're stacking the deck in their favor because they can't get it through honest elections.
Yeah. I mean, and that, you know, the this is them speaking the quiet part out loud. This is them saying segregation today, segregation tomorrow, and segregation forever. That's what they mean by that.
Yeah.
This is to segregate the population, not necessarily go back to Jim Crow, but it's the same thing where you want to keep blacks from being able to vote.
But they're not giving them anywhere to go.
Yeah, exactly.
They can't go anywhere and vote.
That's the big problem is you know, I think in some ways Steve Marshall is kind of right about it being red and blue. The problem is in Alabama, that mostly means black and white as well. And you're disenfranchising. And it makes it very easy in the state of Alabama because so many Democrats at this point are black Alabamians. And so it makes it very easy to discriminate against those black Alabamians. And as it just so happens, because of our terrible, terrible history of discriminating against black Alabamians, we have these protections in place that prevent that, you know, at least for now. And so that's their biggest issue on this, is that that's the holdup, that they would absolutely do this. They would absolutely force through everything that they want to do, regardless of what the constituency wants out there. You know, that's the big thing that they want to talk about is that, you know, this is a conservative state. Well, a lot of it, you're right. It is a majority conservative state, but there's still 40% of this population, even today, out there that votes for liberals and Democrats and progressive policies, and you're disenfranchising those people by not allowing them to be represented at the national level.
And again, what I mean by segregation is that you're segregating them apart from any representative government that they want. That it's like in Texas. We're not talking about blacks in Texas. We're talking about those of Hispanic descent.
Right.
Is what we're talking about in Texas. But I got to get to one of the Fulbright scholars of idiocy, and that is Tommy Tuberville, Coach Tuberville. Coach Tuberville went on Laura Ingraham, Fox News, another paragon of virtue and truth, and said that we should stop funding the Ukrainians, because they cannot win the war against Russia. He said it is like a junior high team or high school team trying to play a college team. Now, again, he is an idiot. He's an idiot because the real fact is we are funding the Ukrainian war against Russian imperialism. If Russia is not stopped in Ukraine, it will have to be stopped somewhere else. And right now we're funding it on the cheap, because not a single American has lost their lives, a combat soldier has not lost their life in Ukraine. Stop funding it, Elroy, and Americans will lose their lives trying to stop a Russian aggression. I'm on the floor.
I can just hear Trump saying, you know, you need to get out there and fight for our buddy Putin, you know. When I appoint you to a cabinet position, go ahead, but put it in your terms, put it in your words. You know that football stuff.
Yeah. Josh.
When I appoint you to a cabinet position at the prison. the reason why, you know, this is so stupid is because we all have eyeballs and we all know what's going on right now. All right. This war was supposed to be over. Russia was supposed to dominate this thing in a matter of hours. All right. And that didn't happen. Because why? The Ukrainians, led by a coalition led by the United States, of supplying them, have supplied them with arms and weapons and funds that have strung out this war much longer than anybody thought. The Russians have taken heavy losses all along the way, and this war has gone on for so long now that it has become a real burden, not only on Putin and Russia, but on all sort of dictators around the world that would look at this and think that this was a good idea.
Well, and the thing is, Tuberville is holding up military promotions, and then he comes out and says idiotic things like this. The guy is truly, as one person said, a coward, and he is not a patriot, no matter what Al Gop says. But anyway, we're going to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. We'll be right back.
My personal biggest pet peeve is kids who are not properly restrained, whether that be in a booster seat, a car seat, or even a simple seatbelt. Kids, they become projectiles, and it's terrifying.
It absolutely breaks my heart to know that something so innocent could be punished so severely.
Your children rely on you to be that person that says, no, you need to put your seatbelt on.
Your home is your most valuable asset, but what if someone tried to steal it from you? Property fraud is one of the fastest growing areas of fraud in the country today.
As a district attorney, I've seen firsthand the devastating effects of property fraud. That's why I'm proud to support the Montgomery County Probate Court's REACT program.
REACT is designed to protect your property and to give you peace of mind. By signing up, you'll receive an email notification if a document is filed against your property.
This program is a game changer. It has the potential to prevent fraud and protect countless homeowners throughout Montgomery County.
So don't wait. Sign up for REACT today and protect your home.
Protect your home with REACT. Sign up today.
Welcome back to The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You know, I know Josh won't agree with me on this, but he'll agree with me on some parts of this. Under the leadership of Chairman John Wall, the Republican Party of Alabama, the party has gotten stronger. Mm-hmm. Because Wall, as we said before, is smarter than all the other ones they had, except for Mike Hubbard and Bob Riley. Mm-hmm. And he is moving the party forward on its agenda. Now, we may dislike some of the agenda, but that is a fact. Wall has had that effect. He's been able to move the party forward like no one has since Mike Hubbard. And I don't think John Wall is a crook like Mike Hubbard.
Well, also, John Wall has done, you know, more for fundraising and actually making the party active. He's had Donald Trump here twice.
Yeah.
I mean, the last gathering they had a week ago, they had 2,700 ticket holders. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
2,700 people to see a felon speak. That's something else, man. That's got to be a record.
Well, how many people you think is showing up for Charles Manson, man? Come on. People want to see the sideshow. But anyway, the politicians in Alabama love Trump or either kowtow to him. It's interesting. Many of these politicians that I hear publicly talk about how they love Trump. In private, they can't stand him. But they're afraid of him. And look, that's where we are politically. People are afraid of Trump. And I get it, and there are people who love him. But John Wall has done a good job of taking the party even further than it's been before, while the Democrats, on the other hand, have done more to ruin the party than anyone's done before. And this is where we are, and this is why the state is in the position it's in. It doesn't have a two-party system.
Mm-hmm.
And Josh, the Democrats need to fall in line behind somebody like the Republicans have fallen in line behind Wall.
Yeah, it would. I'm going to use a little bit of a football analogy here.
We got some football.
So I'm hoping Tommy Tuberville is watching. But it honestly kind of reminds me a lot of the Auburn football program, where for years you've had separate entities of various power that have been kind of pulling against each other, and they cannot really get into alignment on things. And now it seems as though that back in the 80s they had that alignment with under Pat Dye, and things, you know, started taking off and heading in the right direction to really turn the football program around. And I think they're hopeful right now. I'm not calling Hugh Freeze Pat Dye or anything, but I think a lot of the power players agree that Hugh Freeze was their guy for the job. And so I think that's something, when you see that alignment of powerful people at the top of an organization get in behind one person that they're going to get behind and lead, even if you happen to disagree with that person as the choice, as long as everybody is kind of pointed in the same direction and you're pushing forward on that, I think it means a lot. And I think that's what you see kind of with John Wall and those folks. And listen, you got to, I'll give Republicans this. They fall in line like nobody I've ever seen. That's the greatest group of sheep I've ever seen in my life. They will follow anybody to anything all the time, all the way, and believe any horseshit comes out of anybody's mouth. Oh, I'm sorry. But, I mean, it's honestly the fact that they've been suckered in by a New York billionaire that flew his own private plane to his arraignment and then flew back in his own 747 jet, and there's some of these people are sending him money for his legal bills, tells you that this is the greatest group of sheep that we've ever seen in American political history. So I just think that what the Democrats need is a good, strong...
I don't even know what to say to that.
Paul Hubbard leader. They just need a good, strong Paul Hubbard leader, Joe Reed-type leader at the top that, you know, from the early 80s and so forth. I think that's what they need to look for. And if they can get
Josh,
that, then we'll be better off.
They can't... The problem is, not only can they not get on the field, they can't find the football field to get on right now.
That's true.
Well, they don't even know where the marching band is. But, you know, and Josh, to a billionaire from New York City, whose mm-hmm. father was a slumlord in Queens.
Sure.
Who, he appeals to the working men and women.
Yeah.
He understands their plight.
Be sticking up for anybody. It's the roofer in Alabama. I mean, if he understands anybody, if that's their guy right there, is the New York billionaire in his own 747.
He understands the working people of Alabama.
Sure he does.
Listen, I find it a phenomena. I think it is a phenomena. I think once people are not scared anymore, that things will go back to some sense of normality. But I will point out that at the ALGOP meeting, they said that the party ruled that you can no longer accept money from the Alabama Education Association if you're running for school board or school superintendent. Now, you can still take money from them if you're running for state office
or
the legislature.
It started out that way. It started out. And then the legislators fought back.
Yeah, because they got $2 million from them last time.
Be honest.
Yeah, well, I mean, what they saw was, and listen, this should be a real wake-up call for the AEA, because what the Republicans saw was the fact that the AEA was still going to have these millions of dollars to spend on campaigns. And all of a sudden, they were going to start being funneled all the way over to Democrats. All of it was going to Democrats in the state. So that scared the hell out of them.
Yeah,
and I think that maybe that should wake some folks up.
It should. And look, you know, we're seeing all around the country that many of these far right wing ideas are failing. And this is what Paul Reynolds is afraid of. The ideas are failing. It's very interesting. Paul Reynolds tried to get the ALGOP to lean into this book banning, this burning of books and banning of books. It's something out of the 18th century or something like that, or the 16th century. And
1940s.
I think, interestingly enough, Matt Clark, who headed up that phony legal fund that came out of API, he's now going to work for Alabama Supreme Court Justice Tom Parker. He's going to be his senior legal counselor guy. And this is one of the guys who's leading the charge to ban books, Susan.
Yes, he is. And I don't think that is appropriate if he's going to be in a state-funded employment.
Is it right for a person paid by the state of Alabama to be a lawyer at the Supreme Court to be working at the public library to ban books? I mean,
imagine how much better off we'd be if some of our Supreme Court justices actually read a damn book.
Well, there's that. I hadn't thought about it that way, Josh. Thank you for pointing out the obvious.
Well, some of them can't even read, so.
Well, I think they all can read. They've all got law degrees.
They don't read the bills that they introduce.
Well, that doesn't mean they can't read. It means they don't read.
Well,
I think the thing is, when you can start getting your law license at Costco, we'll be a much better country all the way around, don't you think? All right, we're going to have to leave it right there. You're watching The V, the voice of Alabama politics. You watch us because we watch them.